gospel reading that Brett read was part of what happened. So some of you know this story about 2 weeks ago, maybe. During the week at a noon Eucharist, I was up here worshiping, you know, waiting for the first song. The song we were playing when it was time for it to end and me to step over to the altar. And whenever Jimmy, my brother, would talk to me, when we were personal alone, he'd usually a lot of times refer to me as little brother. In public, he'd always use the word bishop. And so I was standing right like back here, and I heard his voice so clear and so loud, I thought you could have heard his voice. And it was his voice. It wasn't me thinking. It was his voice. And he said, little brother, this got my attention. You can only imagine. And he said, walk it out. And I just thought, I kind of had an idea, but I said, what am I supposed to walk out? And he said, everything that God has deposited in you. And then as I was walking towards the altar, he added, and go your way. There was a point in my life, gazillion years ago, when there was just some flack, just as to where I was as a charismatic and my charismatic expression and ours. And the Lord spoke that word to me. He said, go your way. It doesn't mean go off somewhere. It just means be true, be honest, and have integrity to what I've put in you. And so to hear that from Jimmy was just astounding for me. And I've had some pictures of Olivia. I had a dream, but she was fussing at me in the dream. But I've never heard her voice like that. And Jimmy's voice was so powerful. And I think that's a word for all of us, is that God wants us to go our way, to be who God's called us to be. Let me just say this too. From what I'm reading, hearing, that we're about at the place where the Omicron thing is going to be peaking, and we're hopeful, praying that it'll go down quickly. And so for those who are watching over live stream who are holding back because Omicron's been so contagious, I just bless you and honor your, you know, that in your heart and in no way. This thing will pass, and it's been an honor what you're doing. But for some of us, this has been a conversation I've heard a lot from some of the younger people. And so I'm 69 now, so that is a lot of people. And but more younger people, and they were just saying how God's been speaking to them, and that they believe that God's speaking to our church, that we have to make sure that this two-year thing that's happened hasn't created a form of spiritual laziness. And that we've allowed this to dictate the terms of our spirituality. So, again, that's not a word to people who aren't here because of they have some real concerns. I honor that and bless you in that. This will again pass and we'll all be together. But make sure, 2 years is a long time. Don't let this thing rearrange your priorities in such a way that we kind of give in to spiritual laziness, because it's a significant time. The word that everybody gave this morning was so important. When Sam Gendelsberger shared that with me last week, I was so excited to hear that and encouraged to see what God's doing. You with me? I'm not discouraged at all about I know that what God's doing, what he's doing on the earth, regardless of what our eyes see. But I'm also very encouraged about what God's doing among us. And as we accumulate again, come together. Also, I want to announce that, I'll make that announcement later. I'll save that one, if I remember it. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about accumulated glory. And just some time alone with the Lord this last week. This wasn't the word I was going to share. Last week we talked about Jesus being the truth. Today I was going to talk about Jesus being the way, which we'll do in the next week or two. But it was just something in my devotional time, in the prayer time. God spoke this word to me about accumulated glory that I thought was just for me. But when I got up this morning just to go over my stuff that I'd already written down for Jesus being the way, it became really clear there was just this pressure in a holy way that God wanted me to talk about accumulated glory. And so that's what we're going to do, because I want to be obedient. That's one of the ways you walk in accumulated glory. This is from Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7. It says, "But now thus says the Lord your Creator, O Jacob, and he who called and who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place, since you are precious in my sight." And of course, this is the word for us. It's not just about physical Israel. The scripture says in Romans that we're the Israel of God, those of us who were born again. So you are precious, he says. You are precious in his sight. That just blows me away. "Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made." Hear that verse again. "Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made." God created us for his glory. God created us to contain his glory. God created us to reveal his glory. God created us to glorify him, which is to do things that point towards his glory, that causes people to turn to see his glory. The word glory in the Old Testament, so I wrote some of these things down since this sermon was formed this morning. The Old Testament word for glory simply means heavy or weighty. Now, sometimes when you hear the word heavy, you think, oh, heaviness. No, not heaviness, but so dense, so real, it's heavy. I've been in the presence of people sometimes who, even though my eyes were closed, there was a heavy presence about them. And I'm not even talking about glory. There was just a heavy presence about them. Their personality was such, they were who they were. I've been in services, experienced it this morning, that there's like a heaviness. There's a thickness that is his glory. It's a presence manifested, but more than just manifested, it carries a weightiness to it that you can sense. You can cut through. The New Testament word for glory would be translated opinion or reputation or actually praise, that God actually manifests his praise about who he is. He reveals who he is, his praise, not his voice, but everything that he is, his praise. So let me read you a couple of things I wrote down. Some of these I borrowed, some of them have not. This is one, a short description of glory. The weighty atmosphere of his presence and nature that causes his reputation, his praise to happen. Okay? Okay, there we go. This is from Isaiah 63. It says this. The angels are crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." This is verse 3 of Isaiah 6. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And the very next thing that it says is, the whole earth is full of his glory. Now notice that he said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And you would think the next thing would be, the whole earth is full of his holiness. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and the whole earth is full of his holiness. But it doesn't say that. It says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and the whole earth is full of his glory. Because there's a connection. God's holiness is what he is as God that nobody else is. It is his quality of perfection that can't be improved upon, that can't be imitated, that is incomparable, that determines all that he is and is determined by nothing from outside of himself. It is his nature. It is who he is. It is his beauty. The glory of God is the manifest beauty of his holiness. That's why he said in Isaiah 6:3, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory, which is a manifestation of who he is, of his beauty. The glory of God is the manifest beauty of his holiness. I love this. This is from John Piper. It is the going public of his holiness. It is the way he puts his holiness on display for people to apprehend. So the glory of God is the holiness of God made manifest in its weightiness. This is from Leviticus 10, verse 3. Let me read it from the book. You guys hanging in there for this? The reason this is so important, and maybe I should have started this way, I think this word is intended to lure us into something. To present to you something so inviting, so fascinating, that you'll want to apprehend that for which you've been apprehended. Remember how we started. You and I were created for his glory. In Genesis, the beginning, which should always therefore be the beginning of what we understand and build all theology, is that we were created to contain his image and to manifest his likeness. We were created to contain his presence and to manifest his likeness. We were created to carry his holy presence and glorify him by the manifestation of that presence. And therefore, I want you to catch a glimpse of how extraordinary it is that you and I are created to contain his glory, and that you and I can walk in accumulated glory, and there's nothing, no experience, no victory, no anything, no relationship that can compare to the wonder of that. Because in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So as we steward his presence and live in the atmosphere of his glory, we're living in the realm, the atmosphere of the weightiness of his manifest presence, his holiness, and nothing can bring the fullness of joy that that does, or any pleasure be comparable. Because in the end, we know that our victory over the reign of sin that was accomplished at the cross is a finished work. But we have to walk that out. We have to choose to believe. We have to choose to appropriate the victory that Christ won on our behalf. But what motivates us is the lure of living in the realm of his glory. That's the motivation for wanting to walk in consistent victory. Leviticus 10:3. Well, let me read it from here, because Leviticus 10:3 in my Bible, I must have written it down wrong. God says that he will be shown to be holy among those who are near him. And before all the people, he will be glorified. It says in that verse, I will be shown to be holy. And then he says, among all the people, I will be glorified. To apprehend, to reckon with his holiness, and in some sense is to see and manifest his glory, which is what we do mainly when we glorify him. Colossians 1:27 says this, Christ in you is what? The hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. I experienced, I don't know what the boys did, they were really fascinated when I played a song Maasai Warrior singing, because we talked about Maasai Warriors too. That may have been my favorite part, their favorite part, but I experienced the glory of God in that class, those kids, just because we were talking about the name of Jesus. Just speaking his name again and again. As a matter of fact, I think of all the things that I do now, teaching fourth and fifth grade Sunday school might be my favorite. Some people can take everything else away, but if the Lord will just let me do that, and I saw Christ in them. And I want to see that drawn out, for that to become, they understand what that means, these young boys that were there, to understand what that means, to understand how the steward that, understand what it is to live in the realm of his released glory. Nothing, nothing, nothing that the world has to offer, nothing any relationship has to offer, nothing will ever compare to that for them. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 and 4 says this. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now when Christ, who is your life, is manifested, is revealed, then you will be revealed with him in glory. Now think about that. Think about what that promise is. What it says about who you are, and then the promise that God has for us in light of who we are. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Remarkable. Now, when Christ, who is your life, is manifest, every time he's revealed through you, every time you abide, as you walk this out, as Jimmy told me, we're manifested with him in glory. We were created for glory. We are the containers of glory because we contain Christ, the Holy Spirit. And every time he's manifested, we're manifested with him in glory. And nothing is more alluring than that. See, it's the pleasures of his presence that becomes the great lure. The temptation to know the pleasures of his glory, his presence and his glory, becomes the great thing in your life that drives you to make the choice to lay things down so you can walk things out that God's already postured you to walk out in. He's put everything together. The new creation, he's perfected it all. We contain the very life of Christ. You're in union with Christ. He's put it all together. All that has to happen now is for us to walk it out. Just the lure of glory, the lure of living in the weightiness of his manifest holiness, the glory of God that pulls us in. You know, it says in Romans 6:4, it says, Jesus was raised through the glory of the Father. Huh? I used to wonder about that verse. Jesus was raised through the glory of the Father. What does that mean? I mean, wasn't he raised by the power of the Father? I used to think, well, maybe because glory is part of his power, maybe he's just referencing that way. No, I think it's really simple. It's just the weightiness of who God is. And remember, the word glory in the New Testament means to make public, to publish, to manifest calls to praise that just his manifest presence, his glory, he likes to be seen. He likes to be recognized. He likes to be revealed. And in doing, raising Jesus from the dead, he revealed himself in a profoundly powerful way. Real familiar passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This whole chapter is amazing. We'll reference it, most of it. You know, in the Song of Solomon, it says, the king has brought me into his chambers. The word chambers is plural on purpose, because there's this chamber after chamber after chamber and after chamber. And he said, he set our feet in a large room, and every chamber, every time you move closer, further up and further in, the chamber gets bigger, until finally we're going to see him face to face, and it's going to be the biggest chamber ever. We should be advancing from chamber to chamber to chamber, then chamber. We've had a number of people that we know in the last few years transition into that final large space. You know, the whole thing of Lewis is larger on the inside than it is on the outside. Well, that last chamber is so large, it can't be measured. So he says in verse 18, now we all with unveiled face, beholding as mirrors the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Now hear that. With unveiled face, beholding as mirrors, not beholding in a mirror, but beholding, we, like beholding as mirrors, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. So our Christian life, the story of our Christian life, is moving from chamber to chamber to chamber to chamber, moving from glory to glory to glory to glory. Now understand again what that means. From the little simple definition that I gave of glory of God, the glory of God, the weighty atmosphere of his presence and nature. That lures me. That provokes me in a godly way. If glory, and I've created from glory, and Christ in me is the hope of glory, whenever Christ is manifest with me, in me, I'm manifested with him in glory, then I want to move from the experience of the weighty atmosphere of his presence in nature to a weightier and a weightier one and a weightier one and a weightier one. I want to get as heavy as it can get. Again, like you could cut it with a knife. That's the invitation. That's the reality of the Christian life. No wonder he said things like that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I don't want to settle and go, well, I've experienced his weighty presence and nature. But the Lord says, but there's never a place where you ever stop and go, this is good enough. Because there's more. And if it's ever been good at all for you, if you've ever sensed that at all, the invitation is for us to live in an atmosphere of his manifest, weighty presence and nature at an increasing level from glory to glory to glory to glory. In Luke 9:34, John and Peter, one of the accounts of the Transfiguration is that the cloud of glory came on the mountain and they stepped into it. But of course, they stepped out of it and that passed, but they did step into it. In Exodus 24, verse 18, it says, when Moses went to the mountain and he got the tablets, he entered into the midst of the cloud. But I don't want to just step into it. I was born again to abide in it. Is that not true? Is there glory in heaven? Is that the final chamber that's just chalked full the weightiness of God's manifest presence in nature? Well, you and I were born into the heavenly places in Christ. You were born into the atmosphere of glory. And God wants our sense of that to grow and grow and grow and grow. Every one of us were born into glory. This is the verse that the Lord got me this week in my time with him. And this is Proverbs 4:18. So listen to what this says. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Let me read it again. Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full of the day. So as I abide in Christ and walk in righteousness, then the glory gets accumulated. Like when you pass from glory to glory, you're accumulating more glory and accumulating more glory. And the normal path for those who are the righteousness of God in Christ, their normal life should be, this is not super deluxe model for a special few, but it should be, it just gets, I accumulate more, then accumulate more, and accumulate more, and accumulate more. Human beings were created to accumulate. We have the capacity to do that. You ever wonder why you can't ever throw anything away? I was going through some of Olivia's stuff last night. I thought, oh my gosh, she was an accumulator. I mean, but in the world, don't wealthy people just want to accumulate more? It's an amazing thing. Like if they have some, they want more. If you want something, you want more. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying we're hardwired to accumulate and even accumulate bad stuff once you start down that road. We were created to accumulate, and because we're hardwired in Christ now to accumulate glory, the path of the righteous is like the dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. And I think back the first time when I understood many, many years ago what it meant to walk in the Spirit. And I experience in a new way the glory of Christ coming forth from me, being the very atmosphere that I walked in. Like, who's the Charlie Brown character has a little dust cloud with him all the time? Is that Linus or Pigpen? Pigpen. It's like being a holy Pigpen. Glory pen. But over the years, I remember hearing some friends say, you know, all Chuck talks about is this thing about Christ being the hope of glory. He'll get over that after a while. And I thought, how do you get over that? And so all these 50 years later, I'm more pumped about accumulating more and more and more and more. And so the allure of accumulating more, God uses to keep me wired, pumped, to go, no, 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 no. Thank you for your victory here, Lord. I don't want to go there because there's no accumulating of glory there. And it's gotten too good. I want to move from glory to glory. I want to accumulate more and more and more. We were born in the cloud because we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. Listen to what it says in these other verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, comparing the old covenant, Old Testament relationship with God, with being in Christ. Beginning in verse 6, 2 Corinthians 3. God, who also made us adequate servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stones, that's the law, living under the law, under performance, came with glory, because there was some. It was temporary, though. So that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses, because of the glory of his face, though fading as it was. That's one of the ways you identify the Old Testament. Fading as it was. How shall the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? For if the ministry of condemnation, trying to keep the law, never being able to, being condemned, has any glory, because sometimes you get it right, much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. Glory that doesn't fade, glory that abounds. For indeed, what had glory in this case has no glory on account of the glory that surpasses it for those in Christ. For if that which fades away was with glory, how much more that which remain in glory? If that which fades away was with glory, much more that which remains is in glory. Having therefore such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. Paul said, the hope that I get to walk in a residing, habitual glory. Again, we've said this before, we're not looking for a visitation. We want to be a habitation that moves from glory to glory. We want to posture ourselves to experience everything he's positioned us to experience and move from glory to glory. Paul said, because of this hope, I use great boldness in my speech. Now, if you know anything about the Apostle Paul, he wasn't by nature a giddy little guy. But he was giddy with the gospel. He was giddy because of the gospel. Because he had been captured by glory. He was drunk with glory. He was addicted to glory. And he wanted to keep allowing Christ to be manifested through him so that he could have more, experience more, accumulate more, go from chamber to chamber, from glory to glory. He was addicted to it. There's nothing more addictive than the manifest presence of Christ in your life. On the wall of any Dreamland barbecue place is a sign that says, ain't nothing like it nowhere. They must have stole that from the scripture. Because to walk in the glory of God and to walk in and anticipate, this is just going to get weightier and weightier and weightier. To get addicted to the glory of God, there ain't nothing like it nowhere. See, that's part of the thing, like for me, who walks in great imperfection, but like this thing that the enemy tries to pull me into, this attitude, getting angry or getting whatever, it's not worth it. What I'm walking in, there ain't nothing like it nowhere, and that doesn't compare. I want to be in a gathering like Sam had said, where corporately, where every week we go from glory to glory. I want to be in meetings. Meetings. God so loved the world, he didn't create a meeting. I want to be in meetings in every spectrum where everybody in that room, what they want to walk in is the glory of God. And there's an accumulated glory because that's what revival is. And revival can be experienced in a meeting, in this, in Walmart. I always reference Walmart because I figure if you can walk revival in Walmart, you can walk revival anywhere. Walking down the street, you live under an open heaven. You carry, you're a carrier of glory. And those who are addicted with the glory of God, the manifest glory in their life, who've accumulated more and more, they're just thirsty. They're just hungry. They're competitive, not with people. They're competitive with the enemy. No. No. I want to accumulate more. I want it to get brighter and brighter, bigger and bigger and broader and broader until I pass through the final chamber, into the final chamber. We all with unveiled face, beholding as mirrors We're the mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image of Jesus, brighter and brighter and broader from glory to glory. There's one other thing, and I'll just add this and we'll stop. At the end of chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, because we've just been talking about walking it out in the Lord, but sometimes we walk it out in seasons of suffering, don't we? Now, for some reason, charismatics are afraid to use that word, but if it hurts, it's suffering. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing in us, that's the literal grammar, is producing in us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. If we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It's like he's saying, it's kind of like the pruning process in John 15, that we're bearing fruit, but when God prunes, it's because he wants us to bear more fruit. And so we keep our eyes on the fruit bearing, not the clipping. And so he says, we move from glory to glory to glory, but when, and this is how the enemy's thunder is stolen, in this fallen world, in God's genius, he even uses, he doesn't cause it, but he'll use the suffering. And Paul calls them momentary light affliction because he thinks of it in light of eternity. In light of eternity, this is a momentary light affliction. If we keep our eyes on the eternal and realize the eternal and the internal that he's cultivating, the glory he's producing in me is more powerful, then we don't give in to bitterness and resentment. We talked about that some last week, that Jesus is the truth. That's the truth about suffering. He didn't cause it. We pray, we do the warfare, we do the stuff, but as we walk through it, understand he's, if you'll keep your eyes on the eternal, he will produce in you an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. But if our focus is on the pain, and all we talk about is the pain, then the treasures that he's depositing, we miss. Instead of walking out thankfulness and manifesting Christ-likeness, we fall into growing, accumulated anger and resentment. So if glory is what you're addicted to, if glory is what you're longing after, his glory, walking in that atmosphere, the weightiness of his glory, his presence, his nature, that's what you're after, then we have go from glory to glory. And understand that even, what has the enemy done? What has he accomplished through all this stuff in the last couple of years? He thinks he's so smart, but he's a fool. Because what God's been doing is depositing in his people an eternal weight of glory. And as that begins to manifest, that's the revival people have been talking about. And all the enemy's done is accelerate the process. You hear me? All that the enemy is doing and has done is to accelerate the process of glory. But he's so prideful, he can't stop it. He can't keep it. He can't help himself. So we pray against things. We pray against sickness. We pray against coronavirus. We do all those things. But we keep our eyes on the eternal. We walk in the Spirit, knowing that God's producing something in me, a glory, and that you can walk through this storm in the weighty atmosphere of the eternal weight of his glory, and that he's increasing it. All the enemy did was turn the spigot on a little bit higher. And he's going to pay an eternal price for it when it's all said and done. Amen?
Amen.
So, my heart is that God would overcome. I know that he's able to overcome my inability to communicate well, that he would captivate your heart to want to experience, and then start down a journey where it becomes an accumulated experience more and more of God's manifest presence, weighty presence in nature, actually being the atmosphere that you walk in no matter where you're at. You who have been seated in heavenly places. It's not just a verse. It's reality. And I pray that God lures us all into that place, because that's the real story of what God's doing, what's going on right now. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I love you all fiercely. And thank you for being such a family. And I think a family that signed up to go for this. I think that's why you're here. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand together.